Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 20 through 25 together. We'll read responsively. I'll read the even verses. You read the loud, odd verses aloud. If you only listen to the things I said right as much as you do wrong. Yeah. This one's full, Brother Scott. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 25. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And let's pray. Father, please, would you allow me to communicate through the Holy Spirit exactly what you once said today. Lord, I believe there's a truth here that we all need. Some need it in one area, some need it in others, but we all need it. May we apply it to our life. Allow the Holy Spirit to work individually in our life today. May we not listen and say, well, that's good for so-and-so. May it be good for me. Lord, as I work together in tandem with you, would you do what I cannot do? And would you meet every need here, please? May we honor and glorify you with it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to listen to me for a few moments, and then we're going to use our Bibles again. Keep your place there in Ephesians 5. But listen to me very, 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 very carefully. We live in a world where people live what I call behind facades. A facade is something that covers something else. For instance, a facade is like a fake wall. You might have two or three buildings that are put together, and then they'll put a new wall across the front to make it all match. That's called a facade. It's not the real structure. It's covering the real structure. Say, why do people put up a facade? Because they want to appear to be something that they're really not. They want to project themselves a certain way and don't want people to see what's really behind that. We're good at showing what we think we are and trying to cover our weakness with a facade. That's what social media does. That's what we do with social media. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Okay, let's bring it down to where everybody lives in the room. You know when you make those little meme pictures of yourself? How few of those really look like you? You want it to portray what you want to be, but does it really look like you? Everybody doing all right? Okay, we went from preaching to meddling real fast, didn't we? Look at a file on Facebook. I've never been on there to know. But probably most of it, it's kind of like a job application. The only person that believes their resume is the person that wrote it. People are good at only showing what they want you to know of them. People put these fake walls or facades up so people don't see the real us. We're very good at only showing what we want to be seen of us, and we don't want to let anybody any closer. The Bible word for that would be hypocrite. The word hypocrite means with wax. You say, what does that mean? Many of you have seen sculptures made out of stone. Those sculptures, only the real expensive ones aren't flawed. Many times somebody will make a sculpture and then they'll go back through it and they'll take wax and they'll fill in the blemishes with wax. And they can make it look just like the stone. And the word hypocrisy or hypocrite means having wax. And what they would do is they would put heat to a sculpture, and anywhere where all the wax melted out, that's where the flaws were. That's exactly what people do. They want to fill the flaws with wax and not show anybody the flaw that's there. Everybody doing okay? It looks as though the designer wanted it to look, but he was not professional enough to make it be that way on its own. God makes three very, very interesting statements here in Ephesians chapter 4. God says in verse number 22 that ye put off something. Verse 24 says that you put on something. And verse 25 says put away something. Now look at me. God says there's some things we're supposed to put on. There's some things to take off. And there's some things to put away. We're going to look at today at what I call not having a facade. Now let me describe something to you. Look at me for a second. That means this. Okay, I have joy. Did you know I can be happy when not all my circumstances are good though? It's called joy. Preacher, how you doing today? I'm doing great. Does that mean I've got no problems? No, my bones hurt like yours do today. Just because my bones hurt doesn't mean I can't have joy. I've decided to put joy on, not necessarily put happiness on. Putting happiness on is saying, oh, I'm doing great. Everything's just fine. I hate going out to eat because people say, how's your meal? If they say that, I'm doing fine. When they say, how's it taste? I have to lie. Because I can't taste it. Because I don't want to go through again. Well, I don't know. I can't taste it. Huh? It's not worth that to me. Say, what do? I just say, it's fine. Now, am I being a hypocrite? No. I'm not putting a facade on. I've chosen the higher road and I have not put a facade up. I've just leaned on the higher principle. But I'm not trying to portray something I am not. Let's look at these three things that God tells us to do here today when he says, put off, put on, and put away. Number one, God tells us to put off the old man or the sinful ways. Everybody look at me. Look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation. The word conversation there means way of life. It doesn't mean what you just talked about. It means your former life. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's not talking about me because of my birthday. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. God says he wants us to put off the old unsaved life. Now everybody look at me for a second. What does it mean to put off? Let me show you. I just put off my coat. Yes, sir. I'll pose out front for pictures later. All right. God says we are to take it off That's what the word put off means. God says we're to take off the old man. We're to take off the unsaved part of our life. What is that in general, preacher? Well, it says put off the former conversation, the old man and the corrupt man. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Let me show you how God works things in Scripture. Look at Colossians chapter 3. It's just, probably about 10, 12, 13 pages farther. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 8. But now ye also, what are the next two words?
Put off.
There it is again. God says, but now ye also put off all these. Now look at me. There's a colon there. That means he's going to give us a list of things to put off. You ready? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Sounds almost just like Ephesians chapter 4, does it not? So God says we are to take off six things. Anger. God says when anger comes to you, take it off. Anger is heated or being hot that's not controlled. It's heat that is uncontrolled. It's kind of like when you start a fire and the wind blows and takes it where you didn't want it to go. It got too hot. That's what anger is. God says, be angry and sin not. This is talking about the sinful anger. This is where you let it build up and you blow and you lose your temper. That's anger. Now, there's times you're supposed to have planned anger. Don't get me wrong. There's a time and place for anger. But when everything bothers you and you just blow up every time, well, preacher, I have a shorter fuse. No, you just keep it next to the lit flame all the time. You're ready for it to blow no matter what happens. Well, that just made me mad. There's a lot in life that makes me mad. Doesn't mean I have to blow up. I said this in Sunday school. I had to call an on-call doctor this week for something, and it was worthless. I'd had somebody else call, and they said they couldn't do something. I said, well, I can. I can say words you're not allowed to say. Because it was involving someone close, and I called that on-call doctor, and he wouldn't help me. I said, well, who can you put me in contact that can help me fix this? He said, I can't do that. I can't help you. I said, well, thank you for nothing, and I hung up. He said, why did you do that? Because I was angry, and I didn't want to say what I was thinking. Well, preacher, what were you thinking? None of your business. Yeah. I would have used different words, I promise. But I already felt myself getting angry, so I put off anger. Next, God says wrath. Now, everybody look at me. Most people think wrath is excessive anger. That is not what wrath is. I mentioned this, I think, Wednesday night or a week ago Wednesday. Wrath is exaggerated emotionalism. Wrath is your emotions that get out of control and your emotion overwhelms the truth of the situation. That's wrath. Don't get mad at me. If Miss Kim were here or whoever, it doesn't matter. Wrath is like, I use the illustration, going to a black funeral and them deaconesses are up there smacking the person to get them to cry. You got to cry it out. Well, just cry and get it over with so you don't have bruised cheeks, amen? See, what is it? They want that extreme emotion to control the situation. No, there's a time and a place for everything. But wrath isn't just, it's emotionally based decision making. And when our emotions get the best of us, we're supposed to take that off and make decisions based on principle, not how we feel. I didn't say you don't feel it, but we don't make decisions by how we feel. Mm-hmm. Number three, God says put off malice. Malice is purposely trying to hurt somebody. I may hurt you from time to time, but I don't mean to. Malice would be, I'm planning to hurt Wiley. So everything I'm going to do my best to hurt Wiley. That's preaching to one person. No, I don't do that. That would be malice. Everybody understand that? I might preach to Scott, but I won't preach to... No. wait a second. Malice is when you purposely do something. Accidents take place. You're going to bump into somebody. You may injure somebody. You might have an accident on the road. Malice is when you purposely try to do something. Malice is when you're running from the police and blowing stop signs and stoplights. That's called malicious malice. Then it's blasphemy. The next thing God says is blasphemy. What is blasphemy? Great disrespect or contempt toward God, the Bible, or authority. Blasphemy is not just bad doctrine. Blasphemy is disrespect for authority. Folks, can I tell you something? Police officers are sinners too, but they're there to enforce the law. And sometimes they have to do things they don't want to do either, but for their own protection, because they don't know who you are, they'll do certain things. When I began carrying, I told my wife, I said, if for some reason we get stopped, I will declare I'm carrying. I said, there's a chance the officer may ask me to step out and put me in handcuffs, detain me till we get through the situation. Can I tell you something? If I had to face what they face, I understand that. Well, that's my right. Yes, it's your right. It's also their right to protect themselves from you. They don't know who you are and what you are. Everybody doing okay? I love it. So, blasphemy, great disrespect or contempt towards God, the Bible, or authority. Folks, when we thumb our nose at God, well, I believe most of the Bible, but I don't care what God says about this. Oh, that's blasphemy. Well, preacher, I don't see it that way. Well, that's what God said. Outside of that, it's blasphemy. Then it says filthy communication. Can I reiterate what that means? Internet, Hollywood, news media, filthy communication, social media. Look at the filth that's on public television today. Look at the filth that you have to filter through social media. Look at the filth and vileness of music in our society today, what they call music. Why is it good music? Because a woman could get up and put nothing but her underwear on and bounce around in front of everybody. We say, man, that's great stuff. So God says, put off those things. Lastly, lying. Untruthful. Preacher, I have a problem with lying. Everybody does. How do I fix being a liar? Tell the truth. There's only one way to fix being a liar. Tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's how you fix being a liar. The Bible says that we come forth of the womb lying. Did you know a child's first sin is lying? I've said this before. You don't teach a child to lie. They do it naturally. You have to teach them to tell the truth. Everybody doing okay? You say, preacher, I don't have a problem with it. Yeah, look at yourself in the mirror and really tell yourself that. And I'll tell you this, the easiest person in the world to lie to is yourself. Well, I'm strong enough to handle that. Yeah, you believe that? You're a liar. So, when the old man, the flesh, these six things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, and lying come our way, God expects us to take it off and not yield to it. You can't keep the flesh from coming to you, but you don't have to put it on. It may come to you, but you don't have to put it on. It's like that knit cap that your great grandma gave you. And then she knitted you a coat and a tie to match. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That thing that you didn't want to be seen in public with? Oh, great grandma, thank you, thank you, thank you. But I ain't wearing that ever outside this house. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, it came to you, but it doesn't mean you have to put it on. That's what God says to do with these six things. It may come to you, but when it does, take it off. You don't have to wear it around. We need to recognize the flesh in these things when they come. And when they come to us, God says, take it off. Next, go back to Ephesians chapter 4, but keep your finger in Colossians 3. Look at verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So if putting off means taking off, guess what putting on means? Means picking something else up and putting it on. God says don't only put off the flesh, but now I want you to put on something over top. What are those things? Go to Colossians again, chapter 3. And look at verse number 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put, what's the next word? On. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on what? Charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now look at me. God says there's eight things that we're supposed to put on. He said, take off six things, put on eight things to cover and to protect yourself from those six things. Look at Galatians for a second here. It's right before the book of Ephesians. Galatians chapter 3. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Notice in Ephesians 4, it talks about when you put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. When you get saved, you have the ability to put these things on. These eight things only come to those who are saved. It is not for the lost, because the lost world is the old man. Do you remember the verse in Corinthians? It says that all things become new We're new creatures in Christ, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So God says, put off the old man, but after you put off the old man, put on the new man. Here are the eight things that God lists here in Colossians 3 as to what we're to put on. First of all, God, by the way, we're not just supposed to take off the dirty old rotten nasty old garment that we had. He said, I'll exchange it for a new one. Don't just take it off and walk around naked. He said, I want you to put something else on, cover it up, but it'd be a whole lot better. That's why when we get saved, this robe of flesh will drop and rise, and yet we'll receive our new robes when we get to heaven. We receive our new garments when we get to heaven. God said, I want you to take off the old, but bless God, there's new ones to put on. So what does God tell us to put on? First of all, he said, bowels of mercies. This is how we handle people and correct them without anger. This is dealing mercifully with people. Everybody look at me for a second here. Mercy, mercy is not the lack of punishment. Mercy is applying punishment with the right attitude. You say, well, judge, give me mercy. Somebody's murdered somebody and they plead for mercy. They're not saying don't punish me. They just don't want the death penalty. Mercy may be that they only serve a life sentence instead of get the death sentence. Now, personally, justice requires the death sentence. But mercy would not be the lack of punishment. It may be staving off some of it, but there's still punishment. And it's giving that punishment with the right attitude. You don't have to scream and holler and get all hot under the collar to correct your children. Sometimes you send them to the room, not so that they calm down, but so you calm down. Mercy is calming down to be able to deal with the situation so you're not out of control. That's what mercy is. I don't act quickly. Once I've made it, it takes me a while to make a decision because I want to have all the facts. Once I have them all, it moves along pretty quick. It may take me days or a week or so to get all the facts together. But by the time I've got to call somebody in, if I've got to correct somebody, if there's somebody in school that I have to deal with, usually when they get to my office, they'll look at me and I'll say, now you do know who you're talking to right now. You do know I know just about everything about the situation. Yes, sir. So lying right now would not be real smart. Now tell me what you know. Say, what is it? Are you angry, preacher? No. Firm? Yes. Angry? Not at all. That's called bowels of mercies. By the way, the word bowels there means it's your inner fiber. It's your strength. It's real easy to pop off and scream and holler. It takes some, no pun intended, guts to calm down and do it calmly. God says we're to put on bowels of mercies. Next, he says kindness. That means being considerate of others and what they need or want. What happened to old-fashioned kindness? Yeah. What happened to children being taught yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am? What happened to adults talking to one another that way? Please don't get mad at me. There was a generation, don't call me, sir, that was my dad. Well, there comes a point in time where you need to grow up and accept it. Amen. Don't call me ma'am or miss so-and-so. That was my mom or my grandma. Well, guess what? You're old enough now, you ought to accept it. That's respect. I've had people in my past say, well, don't call me that. I said, too late. My dad's still alive. He'd whoop me if I didn't. They'll look at me and I say it again. I wish your dad were here. He'd be laying on the floor laughing here. There used to be a lady that ran one of the bus companies that we leased buses from in Hammond, but she worked in Chicago. She was known as Sylvia. You've heard the stories. She could have made a drill sergeant blush. I am not kidding. Sylvia hated everybody and everybody hated her, and she liked it that way. Pretty close, Brother Steve. I had to deal with her one time. One time, and I had to deal with her. I drove up there. I was in her office. And she said, I said, yes, ma'am. She said, don't call me ma'am. I said, well, you're not a sir. And she looked at me. I said, ma'am, you have to understand something. I was taught respect. This is not because of an age difference. This is because of respect, and I respect your position. Oh. All you people from that church are the same. I said, well, thank you, ma'am. I won Sylvia over in one conversation. I got whatever I wanted out of her. The man that oversaw the BC and D bus ministry came to me and said, did you talk to Sylvia this week? I said, yeah. He said, I don't know what you said. I said, I was just kind. He said, I've been working with her for, at that time, probably 2 decades. He said, I don't know how you did, but she likes you. He said, I didn't know she liked anybody. I said, you just have to treat people with respect and kindness. By the way, while I was in her office, I saw something that she had on her desk, which meant she liked it. When I got back to my office, I had one of my secretaries purchase some of that with my own money and send it to her. I had people from the other bus ministries coming to me to find out how to get close to her. And I said, just don't try. Just be kind. Just be kind. That's what kindness is. What happened to kindness? Kindness at home. My wife and I treat each other with kindness. It's yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Say why? She'll hit me with a frying pan upside the head. No. I don't care. My house is a place of kindness. That's the way it should be, isn't it? Then God says, humbleness of mind. This means two things. Number one, you're not as smart as you think you are. My favorite statement, Mama's in heaven, she can't get mad at me for saying it. Some of you think you're hot snot on a silver platter, you ain't nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. Oh, she'd get mad at me for saying that in church. But we've gotten to the point where we think we're somebody because we know something. Most of you think you know something because you can talk to Siri or Alexa. And you think you've got all the answers. Hello? Humbleness of mind is realizing you don't know it all. Such statements as, I know what you're thinking right now. You are not a mind reader. And fellas, if you're talking to a female, there ain't no way you know that. And ladies, if you're talking to a man, you know you don't know that. Humbleness of mind is us realizing we're not as smart as we think we are. But humbleness of mind is also not letting your knowledge be the source of pride. Did you ever meet somebody that was smart and they thought they knew it? usually it's college professor. Dr. Stupidhead, and, you know, he's got a PhD. You know what PhD stands for, don't you? Post hole digger. If you're in college, it means pretty heavy date. But anyway, PhD, you got a THD, a DDD, or BVD. I don't care how many letters you got after your name. It doesn't mean anything. That humbleness of mind is not letting your knowledge become your pride factor. There are people in here, you think you know a lot about the Bible, but you're not living it. You might know a lot of facts, but how much of it are you actually living? Number four, meekness. Meekness means controlled, even. Meekness is where we get the word homogenize. Do you know what homogenized milk is? Homogenized milk is where you take the heavier milks and the fats and mix it up enough to where it doesn't separate. It's all smooth and even all the way through. If you squirt milk out of a cow and let it sit, the cream and the butterfat comes to the top and the regular milk goes to the bottom. You scoop the butterfat off, you scoop some of the cream off, but they leave some of the cream in it by percentage. That's your 1%, 2% milk. And homogenize it, heat it, and shake it so that it becomes smooth in the milk and it doesn't separate. That's what the word meekness is. Meekness is what happens when you take a horse and you break a horse. You all know what breaking a horse is? You take him from a bucking bronco to where you can ride it. That's called meeking a horse. That's where you take all that strength and put it under control. They learn how to control that strength and allow you to help them use it and guide it. That's exactly what God says we're to put on. We're to put on meekness. Meekness is not weakness. It's strength under control. Amen. Then God says, put on long suffering, not your long johns. Long suffering means patient while people have hurts that don't leave. There are people in this room, you have things that are not going to ever leave the rest of your life. There's suffering involved. It's called marriage. I mean, it's called cancer. It's called a broken heart from a child that doesn't seem like they'll ever come back to you. It's being forsaken and it's not going to be restored. Long suffering is being patient with people while they have those hurts. It means suffering a long time. That's what God says to put on. Long suffering is, this is not long suffering. This person has back issues and you don't understand. Well, just rub dirt on it, let's go. You have never had a back issue. That'd be like saying, well, that person has a kidney stone. God help them. Yeah. There's only so much you can toughen up and it ain't there. After 20 of them, trust me, I hear the word and I want to run the other direction. Long suffering is being able to have the right attitude while you're suffering a long time. Next is the word forbearance. Forbearing one another. Look at me. Do you know what the word forbear means? It means patience or tolerance when dealing with difficult or annoying circumstances. We probably are all guilty of this one. Those things that annoy you. God says have forbearance. When it begins to annoy, you're supposed to put on forbearance. Caller ID can be good and caller ID can be bad. There are certain personalities that annoy me. And there's times I'll look and I'll go, what are you doing? I'm putting on something very quickly. You say, why? Because they deserve kindness too. Is it always what I want when I want? No. But it must put kindness on. Patience or tolerance with those who have difficulties or annoyances that bother you. That's called forbearance. Forgiveness. God says put on forgiveness. Why? So you don't get bitter. Learn to forgive. Forgiveness isn't for the one who did wrong. Forgiveness is for the one who is wronged. For you don't need somebody to ask for your forgiveness. You're to give it without being asked. God forgave us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He forgave us before we ever sinned. So that he could have fellowship restored and not be bitter with us. If Brother Steve wrongs me, I don't have to wait until he apologizes and asks my forgiveness. I'm to forgive him the moment he does something wrong to me. Amen. Whether he asks for it or not is not the issue. That's so that he and I can have that relationship restored, whether he asks for it or not. Amen. It is given before the offense. Some of you need to forgive yourself. Say, well, preacher, you don't understand myself. My past, forgive yourself. You understand what I did, forgive yourself. I've had to talk to people that were involved in war and they had to kill people. Sometimes they struggle with that. I have to teach them how to forgive themselves. It was not murder, it was an act of war, it was a declaration of war, protecting their country, doing what they were supposed to do. Amen. I've dealt with Vietnam vets where they had to go in and wipe out women and children in villages. Have PTSD and different things over it. You say, preacher, why did they have to do those things? You understand the Vietnamese war. They loaded up children and ladies with bombs strapped to them. Our GIs would go in with chocolate in their bags and they would see the children and they would go to give a child a piece of candy and the child would reach up and they were booby trapped and they would have a bomb go off and kill everybody within a certain circumference of that. How many of those soldiers were killed because of giving a piece of candy out of kindness? And you wonder, and by the way, the press doesn't want to tell you that. And we had to go in and do that just for our own soldiers' protection. We fought an enemy that didn't wear a uniform. Forgiveness. And then lastly, in Colossians 3 it says, charity. Charity doesn't mean just giving something. Charity is love that gives by principle. Not by emotion. Amen. Charity is something that's given, not gotten. God says we're to put off the old man, but we're to put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness, and charity. Take off the old man. Put on the new man. And then lastly, God says, put away some things. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be what? Put away from you with all malice. Now look at me for a second. The term put away. Put away is different than just taking something off. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. You come home from work and your wife picks up the trail of clothes from the back door to where you get your other clothes on. You put them off, but you didn't put them away. Ladies, it's like doing the laundry, but all the clean clothes are still stuck in the laundry basket. You did the laundry, but you didn't put it away. Ouch. Somebody's not getting lunch today. Now, wait a second. Putting away literally means returning to its original or designated place. God didn't just say, put it off. There are some things you just take off. Then you cover yourself with something else. But there are some things we're supposed to put in its original place. Its designated place. God, yeah. That means your coat goes here, your shoes go there as you walk through the door. Coat goes on the doorknob, the shoes go off and go in the foyer, and then you start going from there. Now, wait a second. God says not only put off some things, not only put on some things, but there are some things in life he wants us to put away. Put it back to its original place. What are those things? Look at Ephesians 4:31. First of all, he said in verse 25, put lying away. Do you know where lying goes? Back to hell with the devil. Because the devil is a liar and the father of it. So when it comes to telling the truth, instead of lying, put lying back where it belongs with the devil. Boys and girls, young people, listen to me. When you lie, you're acting like the devil and you've not put away lying from you. Adults, when we lie to ourselves about whatever it is, we're acting like the devil and we've not put lying away from us. Not just taking it off, but putting it away. Verse 31, let all bitterness. God says put bitterness away. Don't allow bitterness into your life. Can I tell you something? You wonder why you can't sleep at night? Because you're bitter. Who are you holding a grudge against? If I mentioned a name or a situation, then your mind automatically goes back to that one thing. That's bitterness. Wrath. That's that heated emotion. Anger, clamor. That's constantly having turmoil in your life. Evil speaking. God says, put all these things away. By the way, everybody look at me. When somebody gets put in jail, we say they got what? Put away. God says, these things you're supposed to put into jail. Put it away. Lock it up. Get it away from where you're at totally. Boy, that's good stuff. God says, lying. That means this. Tell the truth to others. Tell the truth to yourself. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse number 24. God says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Oh. God says, put away a froward mouth. That word froward means critical. That means you trying to point out something wrong in everything that is said. I'm going to make a statement here. I'm going to preach a sermon on this in coming days. America is one generation from Marxism. It began 100 years ago in our public school system. And we've been teaching Marxism for over 100 years. And many people in our society today are Marxist and don't even know it. Critical thinking is part of Marxism. It turned from critical thinking to critical racism. Hello? That's called a froward mouth. By the way, it landed at Columbia University in D.C. It left Germany and landed at the greatest teaching college in America. And who's been teaching our teachers for over 100 years has been Marxists. That's why every time a liberal hears something they don't like that's conservative, they accuse that person of being like Hitler. Hello. So God says, put a froward mouth away. Lock it up. When you have that tendency to start pointing out all the wrong things, back off. Fellas, just because your wife's telling you what happened that day doesn't mean you're supposed to solve all the problems. Sometimes she just wants to tell you. Don't give it to her, though. My wife will start, and I'll say, honey, do you want me just to listen, or am I supposed to be listening to fix something? Well, I just want to tell you. Okay. Yeah. I don't listen thinking, well, I would have done this, I would have done this, I would have done this, and have a 12-point outline for her when I'm done. No, she just wants to get it off her chest. No problem. There's other times she's asking me so that I can fix something. Just because somebody presents something to you doesn't mean you have to give them the solution. You give the solution when asked. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. It's right after the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Isaiah chapter 1. Look at verse number 16. Isaiah 1 verse 16, and I got to hurry. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, and cease to do evil. God says we're to put away the doing of evil. We're to put away the things that are evil in God's eyes, not our eyes. Evil is something that's purposely trying to destroy. That's the news media. Put it away from your eyes. I could solve most of your problems in life. Quit watching the stupid news. You'd be surprised how much happier you'd be. Put away evil things. I'm talking about what we use as entertainment. Much of it's evil. I've got to quit. Too many Christians are living with this facade or fake cover. What they've done is they still have the flesh on, but they build a wall that has the new covering on it, but they're hiding behind it, and it's not real. They want you to see it, but they don't want to wear it. And they're not putting away certain things, and they're not taking off anything. They've just built a wall that looks like you'll accept it. Silly illustration, but maybe it'll help you. Y'all know what a life vest is for boating? You know, those big orange ugly things? I wonder how many people are putting a life vest on and then they think it's bulletproof. Well, this is my bulletproof vest. It's a life vest. No, it's a life vest. No, it's bulletproof. It's a facade. It's fake. It's not real. I'm not wearing it if I'm going to battle. Yeah. Nor would you wear the heavy Kevlar just as a life vest either. Because if you're going to jump out of a boat with that thing on, you're going to have a hard time swimming, dude. You see, that facade. We want it to have a certain appearance. Well, guess what? God says there's things we're to take off. There's things we're supposed to put on. And there's some things we're to lock away. Put off, put on, and put away. Let's not live with a facade. But let's do the things God tells us to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher? Somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. If you raise your hand, my soul, many, many, many hands, thank you. I wonder how many people need to come to an altar today and take off something from the old man. Maybe you need to go home and do some cleaning out. Get rid of the liquor and the booze and get rid of the cigarettes and get rid of all the things from the old life. Start putting on something new. Maybe there's some things we just got to put away.